Okay, let's pick up where we left the pasuk in Aleph. We'll just go right to the Rashi. The Atem Mechal Lemoisai, Eshemi. You are Mechal, my name. Malachi is complaining that the Goyim, they are not to blame. The Goyim, in fact, even though the Goyim are offering, even though the Goyim are being marked to Karbonis to Avodah Zarah, in their minds, this is considered an Avera, not even an Avera, they consider it a mitzvah. Because as we said so many times, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has appointed the Tzva HaShamayim to be his representatives. And it's always considered to be in this world an honor when you give it. It's considered to be correct when you give honor to the appointees of the Melech. If a Melech appoints a governor, a Melech appoints a mayor, a representative, so, and you give honor to the representative, that is very satisfying. The king is very happy. He's very happy when you mechabed the people who he put in position. So the Goyim believe that Hashem created the world and gave over his power to the sun, the moon, the stars, and all other things in this world. Er Mechol, is that you? Shalom Aleichem. We were just talking about you. Mechol, good morning. Good morning. It's good to see you. We hope everything is well.
Well, we're home.
Baruch Hashem. May she have refuah shleima. Everything should be good. Okay, so here we are. We are over here. We have this idea. We said so many times that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has put into position, all these different entities. And therefore the Goyim think, they believe that these entities have independent power. Hashem has gone on vacation. Hashem is no longer here, and he's given over his authority to all of these entities, and they have power, and therefore when we give them honor, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has satisfaction. All right, before we continue, I'm going to load the refrigerator.
It's not bad.
I know, but it's going to get bad. Come out, you come from the street, it's nice and cool. You sit here for 10 minutes, get sick.
You have the air conditioner.
I know, right on top of me. Okay. I call a certain yeshiva the Institute for the Advancement of Rabbinic Refrigeration. I have a very hard, I'm very sensitive to the cold. I have a very hard time. Most of the places that I think with in the summer are freezing. I get sick, man. I'm just freezing cold. Okay. Let's go. So here we have this idea that the Goyim there are off. We are on page 870. Malachi, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Yud Aleph. We're learning the Rashi. Rashi now Pasuk Yud Aleph. The Jewish people, in contrast, you profane Hashem's name. Now here's the it's a little bit difficult to translate these words. You, the Nivoy Nivze Ochloi. What the word Nivoy means? Speech. Niv. Niv Sifosayim. This is one of the most famous expressions. The reason why a Navi, all the commentators will tell us right off the bat, the reason why a Navi, a prophet, is called a Navi, is Milosha Niv. Niv Sifosayim, the murmuring of the lips, the utterance of the lips, the movement of the lips. So here we have the word Nivoy. It's Niv. So in this context, you have to be a little bit more creative in translating the word. And there are obviously going to be different interpretations. And the one that I really like the most, what Rav Kalman said, which we have yet to find inside, it means that we're giving life to the Mizbeach, and the Mizbeach is speaking. But we have not yet read those words inside yet in the commentator, but so far we're going to learn Nivoy means, it means the words that are spoken regarding the Mizbeach. Who is the speaker? Who is the subject? So the Metzudah said explicitly, it's the Kohanim. The Kohanim, when they go home and they say, how was work today? The wife, disgusting, that Mizbeach, the blood, the smell, the odor, it's going to kill me, this avoda. It's just horrible. It's pollution. We need, it's like a sweatshop. Who knows what they said? The Nivoy, the words that the Kohanim said regarding the Mizbeach is, it's disgusting. And Rashi says,
I remember my teacher in high school was Dr. Yisachar Jacobson. He wrote quite a few books about Tanakh. And he called it Ha'anasha, personification.
Personification.
He took the Mizbeach as if it's a human being.
Right, there's a, what's the word used? Close this in high school. No, it's something with an A. You ascribe, yes,
right.
Anthropomorphism. How do you pronounce it? Anthropomorphism. I can't pronounce these fancy words. Right.
So you make an object into a live person.
Exactly. Say the word again. What's the word?
Anthropomorphism.
That's a high school word. SAT word. Okay, so you ascribe to an inanimate object life, and you thus give it life qualities, and therefore it speaks, it eats, it talks, it sleeps, it walks. Exactly. Okay, that's exactly what it means over here. So according to Rav Kalman, and Kalman over here, Rashi doesn't say that yet. Rashi says Nivay Shol Mizbeach Hashogar B'Sifsoi Seichem in your lips. Rashi is learning exactly what we learned in the Mitzvah David. Zehu Tamid Nivze Ochloi. Atem, you the Kohanim, Oimrim Olav, you speak regarding, concerning the Mizbeach, you say that it's disgusting. When you come up, when no one is watching, you talk about the Mizbeach, you say, ugh, what a disgusting place, what a disgusting job, my bad luck, I got stuck being a Kohen. If only I was a Yisrael, I wouldn't have to go do this service in this terrible place. Kloimar, Kivor, Hoitzeisem, Olav, Diba, Zo. You, Kohanim, you have already on record your disgusting speech, your disgusting expressions of what you've said about the Mikdash, the Nivzeh, Hechazaktem L'Mizbechi. And this expression of disgust, of detest, you have said concerning the Mizbeach, Ochloi.
You have a feedback.
A little feedback, I'll make it a little lower. Okay, a little bit lower. Is it, how about, it's okay now? You can still hear me? You'll tell me.
Too much.
You can't hear me anymore?
You know, I can hear you. Yeah, but it's low.
It's low? It's now, how is it now? Yeah. Alright, let me see if it make an adjustment over here. One second. If that's for sure. That is for sure. You know something I've discovered? Over the years, the tech assistants, they know nothing either. I dealt with some very expensive tech assistants, and they don't know anything either. They don't know what they're talking about. Oh, look at this, someone's playing around with this. Not every tech assistant knows what they're doing. You need good mazel.
Not every doctor knows medicine.
You got it. You said it. Testing.
That's why you need a technician.
I told you, but not every technician knows what they're doing. I dealt with technicians.
Absolutely right.
I dealt with Tisha B'Av. Just didn't get it right. Once you spent $2,000 on the technician. $2,000. Remember that you were there?
Yeah.
$2,000. Did they know what the guy was doing? The guy didn't know what he was doing. Didn't know what. The year before was just as we had a different technician. Also $2,000. Okay.
The other side of it is that it's very complicated these days. You know how complicated things are? No matter what you're doing, there's always something that you don't think of. There's always something.
You got it, exactly.
It's always, when you're on the smartphone, there's always something that you didn't press, and you're not getting your voice, you're not getting the sound, and you, why? Because 13 different steps ago, you did this instead of that.
Exactly.
You have to figure that out.
Exactly. You need a lot of siyat l'shmaya, a lot of expertise. All right, nivzeh chlosu, nivzeh zaktim l'mizri ochloim, acholoim, ochloim is over here, then it's Lucas. This is Rashi. Rashi is saying the same idea. Let's now go to the Radak. Radak, we can go back over to the page of the Pasuk Yud. Pasuk Yud, mikam l'chem. Okay, we're going to try to go through quickly. There are a lot of similarities, but there are a few different differences over here. Pasuk Yud on page 869. Mikam l'chem. So until now, the basic idea that we learned until now, according to both Rashi, the Tzudas and Rashi, this first interpretation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is calling seeking men of courage have the courage to lock up the Beis HaMikdash. Hashem does not want a Beis HaMikdash where people are mevazeh the Beis HaMikdash. Hashem is looking...
We're talking about Mamish Malachi's time.
In Malachi's time, correct. Mm-hmm. But like we said many, many times, it applies to Bizman as well. It applies to all times when you have a... It applies to all times when you have any Jewish institution where there is corruption. The idea here is that it's better to shut down the institution than to proceed with an institution that is corrupt. Rav Chaim Volozhin, see, this is a mistake. This is something that Rakefet, Harav, Aaron Rakefet, may he be gezunt and live forever. In the Olam HaYeshivas, they always said the following. They said the Volozhin Yeshiva. Everyone knows the Volozhin Yeshiva. Rav Chaim Volozhin, he created what many consider to be the first modern day yeshiva. First yeshiva, every yeshiva today is patterned after his model. Where you have an institution, right? They have a dormitory, they have students, they have teachers. You centralize Jewish education. For generations, Jewish education was not centralized. It was, you have a malamed, someone comes to the house, you have a few boys, a teacher teaches them. No, there's no grades. No, he gets credit for modernizing Jewish education. And it came a point in time where the yeshiva, the Volozhin yeshiva, after how many, many, many years of it being in existence, I forgot all the details, shut down. So they'll tell you in yeshiva, why did it shut down? This is what they tell you, this is what they taught us. And why did it shut it down? Because the Russians, they looked, what is the curriculum? Are you teaching Russian history? Are you teaching the language, the Russian language? Are you teaching, I don't know what their issues were. And they were very disappointed that they were not giving the students secular education. So they demanded, either you include in your curriculum secular education more than they were giving, I don't know all of the details, or we're going to shut you down. And they refused to concede, and they considered it to be a disgrace. It would destroy the sanctity of the yeshiva, so they shut down the yeshiva. That's what they tell you in all the storybooks. Rabbi Rakefet, in his studies, claims that's not totally not true. And what happened was that the government was afraid that the Rebbeim and the Hanhala would form a rebellion against the government, because there already were many political parties that were chipping away at the authority of the Russian czars, whoever was in charge there. And they were not looking for trouble. The Russian yeshivas and the Hanhala were very influential people. They were very powerful, strong people. People of note, and the government was really afraid that these people will rise up and join other political parties that were a threat to the powers in charge. And the reason why they were afraid, because there was already internal fighting going on in the yeshiva. There was some disputes in the yeshiva over who would a succession. And in these fights that took place internally in the yeshiva, it was revealed that there are some very powerful people, very influential people, and they were just pushing afraid, so they shut down the yeshiva. It has nothing to do with the introduction of secular of Limudei Chol, and that was revealed in recent documents that were declassified recently. Have revealed that the government shut down the yeshiva not because they refused to accept secular education. It was because...
The beauty, because they hear...
The echo?
No, not an echo, but I'm saying some sound. I thought perhaps it was from the speaker, not from you, but...
From the people listening?
No, you're banging the mic.
Oh, I'm banging, okay. The mic. Okay, now I'll try again. I lowered the mic, we'll try again.
Tell the mic to shut it.
Okay, this is what they say. Now, on the other hand, okay, so this is what Harav Rakefet, Harav Doctor, Aaron Rakefet claims it has nothing to do with the introduction of Limudei Chol into the yeshivas. However, I accept whatever he says in blind faith, because I'm a big chassid of his, but let's go back to the land of make-belief. The land of make-believe, like they told you in yeshivas, the reason why they shut down the yeshivas was because they were going to introduce Limudei Chol. Now you have to understand, Limudei Chol then was not like Limudei Chol today. Limudei Chol today, there's no battle when you're going to teach someone Limudei Chol. Oh, they're going to be indoctrinated, they're going to become a maskil, they're going to become a tzioini, they're going to become who knows what, they go off the derech. It's ridiculous. Today, the battle of Limudei Chol is just out of just laziness. They just don't want to study. There's a lack of discipline. But in those days, they were very disciplined. It seems like Adarabba, people probably did very much want to embrace every form of knowledge. The problem was that what they were teaching, the times, the climate of society was so fundamentally different, where by studying the material that was popular amongst the Goyim would very possibly influence the yeshiva boys to become maskilim, to change their hashkafa, their outlook towards Torah, Torah mitzvahs.
You could teach history that cancels history.
It was a very different time, which is impossible, literally impossible for us to appreciate. And in those days, if you indeed, that the fear was, and it seems like they had proof that this is what was happening all over Europe, that if you, there was this drive to embrace a new approach to life, to abandon Yiddishkeit, the purest traditional form of Yiddishkeit, and become maskilim. And this was the danger was this all came from the study and then to embrace Limudei Chol, the type of form of Limudei Chol that was available and that people were embracing. Therefore they felt the.
Well, it wasn't just an intellectual attraction. There were the nationalism movements affording freedom and supposedly for all citizens, including Jews, the notion of freedom as citizens was very, very attractive.
Exactly. So it was all brought together in terms of if you would give some classes. It would be that you would condone, oh, this is great, this is wonderful. It was a very different world that it's impossible for us to understand. I certainly can't explain what I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm just talking general things. And this is the idea. Now, again, if this is true or not, I don't know, because Rabbi Rakevet said it's not true. But it doesn't matter that it's not true. The idea is, this idea, it's better to shut down the yeshiva. Shut down the yeshiva. Let there be no Velazhna yeshiva. Let the students go elsewhere. Let them leave Russia. Those days they can still travel. They were still able to escape. Go to other parts of the world where they will be free. People want freedom. Freedom is the most important thing. People live, you take for granted, you live in America. We live in the land of the free. We don't even begin to appreciate what a blessing this is and how unprecedented this is in this world. In world history... In world history, there was no such thing as freedom. America is unreal. Today, today, what's going on in politics is you see the Gilgulim of the communists, people who have this need to control you, this sickness to control you and to tell you how to live your life. Whatever happened to freedom?
It's also the freedom to lie. That's the problem.
It's too much freedom. So you're saying there's too much freedom. So when there's too much freedom, so you telling me that's why this, so the communism comes from too much freedom. You got a good point. They say in Eretz Yisrael, what's the problem? There's too much democracy. You have three elections. You can't even go. We had four elections. What's going on? What kind of country is this? Four elections. You can't put a government together. Why? Anyone who wants can have a party. Any yokel puts together a couple of votes. Oh, I have a party.
The part is that the average vote, they hold up the works.
Too much freedom. Sometimes you see that in Eretz Yisrael.
If the name of democracy, if the Arabs now mess up everything that in the political system. That's why I've had these elections.
Okay, so there is such a problem. Obviously, you need a balance. But the idea is, this is a very popular idea, is better have nothing, not only, than have something that is impure. And this is what they claimed years ago, is the reason why the Volozhny Yeshiva shut down, because the Volozhny, the Russian Yeshivas, felt that if we're not going to have purity, pure Torah, Al Tahara Sakodesh, it's not Kedai. It's not Kedai. Shut down the Yeshiva. Let this
work out.
Sorry?
How did that work out?
Well, it worked out good, it seems. Well, historians say that it was a blessing. Many historians write that the closing of the Volozhny Yeshiva was a blessing in disguise.
How?
Because many new yeshivas opened up. When the Volozhny Yeshiva shut down, immediately the consequence was everyone left. Everyone went all over the place, to different locations. And many new yeshivas opened up. And those yeshivas were living off the payrolls of many of those new yeshivas that opened up today at Hayom Hazeh in America. It totally, Jews spread out, some survived the war, which came not that long afterwards, but in hindsight, many, I read all these things a long time ago, and I saw this more than once, and a few times I came across this idea. I haven't really spent much time on this stuff lately, but the shutting down of the Volozhny Yeshiva in Jewish philosophy,
when
the vast,
exactly?
It was probably the beginning of the 20th century. What, 1903, 1904, the very beginning of the 20th century in Russia. It was viewed by many in Jewish historians in the Orthodox community as a blessing in disguise. It was considered to be a Holocaust. The Volozhny Yeshiva was going to shut down. Why did it shut down? Okay, they tell us yeshiva because they were gonna contaminate the yeshiva with the tumor of secular education. And it's true, it's not like secular education in Chaim Berlin. We're talking about Haskalah. They wanted to influence, our Kevitz says that's false. That's totally false. It's because the Russian government was going through a very difficult, traumatic time. And there were many parties and rebellions, and they just wanted to squash any possible dissent. And they felt that the people in the Volozhny Yeshiva were influential, and they could have an influence on those who are in power in government. They can their power could spread to the neighboring communities, and they just did not want them to be involved. They shut them down. That's what Harav Hakefetz says, and we know this today to be true from recently revealed declassified documents. We know that to be the case. But for years, for probably 100 years, that's not what they told us. They said it was because they wanted to influence the yeshiva with Haskalah. It's probably Elu v'elu divrei Elokim chaim. You just can't discount what they've been saying for 100 years. You can't say everyone's a liar. Elu v'elu, there must have been elements. Must be, there were elements of both of the, maybe even more elements, even more things involved. But the principle is a very interesting principle. It turned out to be a blessing in disguise, because when the yeshiva shut down, the Talmidim and the Russian yeshivas, they reestablished themselves elsewhere in many other different locations.
Necessarily the intent of the Hanhalah or the expectation.
Of course not. Of course not. In hindsight, absolutely. Absolutely, it was a curse. It was a day of mourning. They probably had a Yom Tzayim. Look, they say the same thing really in regard to the expulsion of the Jews from France. When the Jews were expelled from France in 1242, the disputation of Rabbi Yechiel Miparis against Nicholas Donin. Nicholas Donin, his Talmud, the apostate. So even though he really won the debate, but they had such hatred for the Jews. In the fact that they outsmarted them in the debate, the Jews of France were expelled. That was considered to be a horror. First, there was the Srefa Satoira. They burned the Talmud Bavli, 24 cartloads of Talmud Bavli. And then a couple of years later, there's a big debate exactly how many years later were they expelled from France. But in hindsight, it turned out, I don't know if you call it a blessing, but Yiddishkeit spread. It spread. The Jews, when they left France, where did they go? They went all over the place. They resettled all over the place. Yaakov Avinu said, "Im yava esav al machane hachas, der machane hanisha yeyel lefleita." When Yaakov met Esav, he split the machane into two camps. Why? Just in case chas v'shalom there's a churban in one camp, v'hoya hamachane hanishar lefleita. And that's indeed what happened. When the Jews spread out, that spread Yiddishkeit all over other locations, and that's why we're here, still here today. We don't know how all these things work, but Hashem is running the world, and these things at the time was no Klinikite at the time.
No, it's better. We think it's much better if all the Jews went to Israel. Maybe not so good that all the Jews went to Israel.
That's so what would have been, everyone talks about that, is that the Jews in Israel, at the end of the day, they were not harmed. Hitler never came to Israel. But he sent his general.
Almost.
And they came pretty close.
Right.
Pretty close. Mm-hmm. What would have been had all the Jews been in Israel? So Hitler might, we don't know what would have been. No one knows what would have been. He may have sent
a
couple.
Nuclear bombs, you get very scared about those things.
Who knows what he would have done? Who knows? No one really knows. If you read history books, they all write, this you read over and over again, is that Alderach HaTeva, Hitler's, I forgot all the names, all the players, Rommel. The cast of characters.
Rommel.
He really should have easily been able to conquer Israel. Easily. It should have been a piece of...
Hitler should have been able to conquer the world. He made a couple of...
That's right. It was the winter. The winter got him.
Russia in the middle of the winter.
He took revenge. Our mayor once told this to me. There was one particular battle which set him off course. There was some... He was in the middle of fighting, and he just... He did something extremely foolish that made absolutely no military sense for one reason only. Covet. There was a certain person that insulted him. So Lahaches, you told this me the whole story.
The whole story. In the book about Rabbi Besser, he brings the Albanian region.
It made no sense.
The king was a little boy, so his uncle ran it. And whatever Hitler wanted, he gave him. And when the kid turned 21, he kicked his uncle out. And he said, "No, I'm not letting you come through my country. I want to be neutral."
So it was a foolish thing to fight with him.
He didn't have to fight him. Never. He spent 2 months fighting him.
And that cost him everything. Yeah. That changed the whole,
so
with the winter, the with the whole story.
Yeah,
stories and stories and stories. Whatever it is, but Rommel really should have easily conquered Eretz Yisrael. And they write, the Tainis, the people in Yerushalayim, they write in vivid detail what they did when they knew they were going to die. They were very holy people living then. And they were mispalo. They had these fast days and tanios. There was a very intense tekufa of tefillah, teshuvah, tzedaka at that point in time. And many of the holy people will tell you that that's why they were saved. There was a hisoirus of tefillah to be saved. What would have happened if everyone had went there to show? Who knows? No one knows anything. Let's go further. Back over here says, we're on over here on the bottom of the page of the Radak Migas. So we learn over here Migas. Gamachem Yivitzko Dosam. So we learn from Rashi and the Mitzudos that we wanted that Hashem is coming to seek out people to shut the doors, lock down the Beis Hamikdash. They're going to introduce Haskalah into the Volozhny Yeshiva. You know what? Shut down the Yeshiva. Shut it down. Don't go and contaminate my Mokim. And certainly, if you have bad Midos, people are going and they're killing each other and they're bringing Karbonos Shaloi L'Shem Shemam all for covered. Better shut it down. Me now Radak learns me gam bochem biyiskod l'saim moysef lemar shagam chutz min amincha gam bochem mitzitchem roin liskod l'saim bal tovo el beisi. You same idea. You should really shut down the base hamigdash v'imbasem l'sham roy shlos bizbichinam. If you do come to the base hamigdash, who's asking you to bring korbanos for no reason? Mufarish megan me gam bochem biyiskod l'saim ki ein chayv etzli bochem the eini roitze shatovo el beisi. I don't want you to come to the base hamigdash. I do not appreciate you in my presence. You are a bali avera. You're not serving me l'shem shamayim. You're doing it for ulterior motives. You're fighting. You're bad people. Better don't come to the Beis HaMikdash. V'neged corresponding lo siru es mizbech chinam, offering, making a fire on the mizbech for no reason. Mefarish ki mincho lo yeretzem niyatchem. The second expression, I don't want your korbanos. af im lo haisa bal mum, even if you were to bring me the karbonis that are perfect, with no blemish whatsoever, I'm not interested. The gamze magbil neged ma sh'omar ha-yirtzicha ha-yisa fanecha, the neged ha-yisa fanecha k'ma sh'omar ha-yisa mikem ponim, omar mi gam b'chem sh'cheshev sh'esa lo'y ponim avur shu choshev etzli. Who is so foolish to think that I'm going to show you favor? V'yiskar d'lasayim v'lo yavoy el beisi. Again, he repeats himself, lock the doors, don't come to my Beis HaMikdash, ki im chayv tzvachem, I have no desire to see you. V'neged ma'ash amar ha'yir, tse amar v'lo si'inu mizbechi, this that he said before, will Hashem show you favor? V'lo si'inu mizbechi, ki mincha lo yeretze miyetchem, I do not, will not show you favor when you bring me korbanah. So he's just coming over here to say over here in this pasuk, there are two parts. There are two parts. There's the part of the Yiskar de losayim, that's part number one. Part number two, v'loy se'iru mizbechi, do not light a fire on my mizbech. Part one and part two correspond. He gives you two examples of what they correspond to. The first thing they correspond to is hayisa. He goes back to the previous section, the different examples. There are two responses. Hashem does not want our presence or our korbanos. Next page, page 871, pasuk yud aleph on 871 on top of the radak. Ki mimizrach shemesh anuvo kol hayishuv hu mimizrach lamara ve'enu ki ve'enenu kein mitzafon ladarim ki enenu miyushuv kuloi. Okay, this we had before, Rashi and the Mitzudah said exactly the same thing. When it says here, Mizrach and Ma'ariv, this unusual, everyone here is on the same page so far. This does not mean Zeman, this means Mokoim. The civilized world was from the east to the west. The north and the south was not civilized at that point in time. Gadol Shmi Bagoyim Ki Afal Pisha Oivdim Litzava Hashamayim, even though the Gentiles are worshipping the heavens, the heavenly hosts, Moidim Bi, the Gentiles acknowledge Shani Hasiba Harishaina. It's an incredible radak. Everyone said the same thing. A goy, an oved avodazara, deep down inside, acknowledges that God created the world. Ella, what is their mistake? Sha'ovdim oisam, they worship the stars, the moon, these entities, lefish daitam, their mistake. Shayu emtsoim beinu beinam, they view these entities to be a middleman between Hashem and them. The Yomer Rabbi Sein Azal, the Karule Eloha de Elohin. We had this in Rashi. They call the heavenly host. They call him the God. They call Hashem the God of gods. All of these entities they call God, but Hashem they know is the God of all the gods. Uvichol Moka Muktar Muktash Lishmi Im Hayisi. Now here where the Radak is going to say something a little bit different than what Rashi and the Mitzudas David said. According to Rashi and the Mitzudas David, the next pasuk said that when these people, the Gentiles, offer sacrifices, offer korbanos to the sun, the moon, they in their minds believe they're giving honor to Hashem. They're giving honor to Hashem by giving honor to the sun, the moon, just like if a melech has a child and the melech puts his child in position, in office, the people, the servants, when they give honor to the child, that's the greatest kavod to the father. If the father puts his son in position and the king, the father sees that the people of the community are giving honor to his son, he does not take that as an insult. How dare you give honor to my son and do not give honor to me? Just the opposite. It's the greatest nachas when the father sees that the people are giving honor to his son. Now, that's the way Rashi and the Mitzvot learn the next pasuk, when the people of the world, the Gentiles, are offering sacrifices to the sun, the moon, the stars, and all of the entities, that in their eyes is an honor to Hashem. Along comes the Radak, and he says, no, that's not what the pasuk means. He says, in hayisi mitzave oisam, it's theoretical. If I were to ask the Gentiles to bring a sacrifice to me, kimoyshet sivisi eschem, hayu maktirim umagishim l'shmi, they would do it. The oil also, ki mincha tohar hayu magishim l'shmi, they would bring a sacrifice to me. Loike moshiatem oisim shatem magishim mincha l'tmei v'nimze, you bring something that is disgusting. So he's saying here an incredible chiddush. The goyim, the reason why they're serving gods is because they do not know better. If I would reveal myself to them, the same way I revealed myself to you, they would bring to me sacrifices and would cut out the nonsense. You, to whom I revealed myself in Matan Torah, you know better, and yet you lahachis don't bring me sacrifices. You bring to Hashem things that are disgusting. That's an incredible accusation against Klal Yisrael, and that's a very different way from Shad in the Pasuk. He's saying, if I were, Hashem is saying, I am Yoreid L'soif Daitoy Shaladam. I know how they think. Only Hashem can say this. I know how the Goyim think. And I know good and well that if I would reveal myself to them and tell them to bring me offerings to serve me, they would serve me. You, who I did reveal myself to, and I tell you to serve me, you don't serve me. Instead, you defy me. You disobey my command. So what's the next obvious question? So why then did Hashem give us the Torah and not give the Torah to the Goyim? How do you understand this pasuk? According to the Radak, according to this accusation, why did Hashem give the Torah to Klal Yisrael and not to the Goyim? If Hashem is saying that I know, I'm Yorei L'Sadaito Shaladam, that HaKadosh Baruch, if I would reveal myself to the Goyim, they would serve me. So what's going on? So the answer has to be, even though the Goyim would serve Hashem, if Hashem would reveal, they would not bring sacrifices to the gods, they would not serve him with quality. They would not serve him the way we serve Hashem that would bring Hashem satisfaction. Okay, if you have servants, think about it. If you have servants, you have in your palace many, many servants. So some servants, they just do what they're told. They got to bring them a check. They work in the palace. They polish the gold and the silver. They make meals, but they don't do it. They don't serve the king with passion, with emotion, with sincerity. They serve. Listen, what else am I going to do in life? I got a job here. I got a pension. I have health benefits. It's a dignified job. I serve in the palace. No, do I really appreciate being here? No. But what else do I have? Klal Yisrael, it's a trade-off. Klal Yisrael, when they serve with passion. When they serve with sincerity. When they serve Hashem, they do it in a way where it brings Hashem nachas ruach. However, we got a problem. Our problem is that when we run out of steam, we don't serve, period. Instead, we bring sacrifices to the gods. We worship idols. It's a trade-off. Hashem here makes a statement. According to the Radak, the statement that the Pasuk is making is a shocking statement. Hashem is saying, listen, I know what goes on in the back of your mind. And I know that if I would have revealed myself and given the Torah to the Goyim, they wouldn't worship idols. They would be loyal. So why then didn't you give the Torah to the Goyim? Give it to them. Why you give it to us? The answer is, they just don't have any salt and pepper, these guys. They don't serve Hashem with a hislavus. Only Klal Yisrael can serve Hashem to a degree where Hashem derives satisfaction. But we got a problem. Our problem is that when we run out of steam, we don't serve altogether. We rebel. We worship idols. That's what it's saying in the Radak. Rashi wouldn't want to dare say this. Rashi and the Mitzvahs did not go so far to say it's a shocking thing. Because according to Rashi and the Mitzvahs David, the Goyim, it doesn't say that. It says that the Goyim, they worship the sun, the moon, the stars. And in their mind, they believe that by worshiping the sun, moon, and stars, it's a kavod for Hashem. But that doesn't say that. Then he says a second shot, Oy Perushay, or I'll give you an alternative shot. This is exactly what Rashi said. Now he goes and he says the second interpretation, which was Rashi. Even though they go and they worship the Zara, really they're having kavanah for me because the intermediary, like we explained before, the Yoinus Santir game and Yoitag Medicine explains, every time that you do my will, I accept your prayers. Ushmi Rabbi Miskadash Ali Deichon, my name is exalted through you. Utzloischaim, and your prayers, ki korban, is equivalent to a korban dechei kodomai that's offered before me. Arei Rav Shmi Beinei Amaya. Arei Rav Shmi, my name is great. Beinei Amemaya, Amar Hashem Tzokas. This is according to Targum Venice Menuzil, it's really the Makar. This is the source. Do you know how important this pasuk is? This is the makar for the principle of unishalma farim sefaseinu. This is the makar. Look at, let's read the pasuk again. Read the pasuk Yud Aleph. It's incredibly powerful and critical to appreciate this pasuk. This pasuk is telling us that even though Bezman Hazeh, we do not have korbanos, we do not have a Beis HaMikdash, the fact that we dive into Hashem is equivalent to bringing korbanos, and doing so, our prayers serve as a kiddush shem shamayim to the entire world. Read the pasuk. Ki mimizrach shemesh amavo, throughout the entire world, gadol shmi ba'goyim, the entire world recognizes the greatness of Hashem. How? How is it that the entire world recognizes Hashem's greatness from the beginning of civilization to the end of the entire world? You know how? Because the Jewish people, wherever they are, they have a Chabad house in every single corner of the world. And in every Chabad house, every makam where the Jews find themselves in the world, what do? They daven. And when they daven, their davening is equivalent to bringing sacrifices. Uvechol makam. According to the Targum, when it says uvechol makam, means going down klal Yisrael, muktar mugosh lishmi umincha tohira. That refers to us. We bring Hashem kitoris. We bring Hashem korbanos. We bring Hashem minochis. Three different types of sacrifices. The whole gamut. The whole nine yards. We have the kitoris. What type of offerings do you bring Hashem? You bring offerings. You bring kitoris. You bring animal sacrifices, and you bring meal offerings. These are the three different things that it says. Muktar, ketores, mugosh is korbanos, umincha tohira. Who is bringing these things throughout the entire world? The Jewish people. What do you mean? There is no Beis HaMikdash. You're not allowed to be makriv a korban outside the Beis HaMikdash. The answer is, when you daven, when you come to shul, and you daven Shmona Esrei, that is equivalent to the Tamei Shel Shachar. When you daven Mincha, that's equivalent to Tamei Shel Ben Harbayim. When you daven Ma'ariv, that is equivalent to the Emurim. When the Umay Yisraelim see there's a synagogue, and they see the Jewish people are going into the synagogue to pray, this creates in their mind an awareness that there is a God, there is a Creator, and God created this world. He rules over this world by Hashkacha Pratis. And these people, the Jewish people, they are Hashem's chosen nation. That's how the Targum of Shabbos Pasuk. Ki gadol shmi ba'goyim. Hashem's name now becomes exalted among the goyim. Om Hashem Tzvogas. Read the Targum inside. Are, this Pasuk is the basic, the mamash, it's the aleph base. The bread and butter. The meat and potatoes of Judaism. This Pasuk with its accompanying Targum Yonasan. Are, it is a fact. That mi madnach shimsha, from the rising, from the location of this world where the sun rises, which is the east, the ad me ale, until where the sun sets, the location, the entire civilized world, rav shemi, my name is great, bene amemaya, amongst the nations. Uvechol Eden, why is that so? Because Uvechol Eden, because every single location, the atun of you, the Jewish people, you see over here what he's doing over here? He's shifting. The Radak over here is saying, the Targum is saying, not like every one of the commentators. Every one of the commentators connected the Pasuk, Uvechol Maka, Muktar, Mugash, Lashmi. They told us that the subject of this Pasuk are. It is the Umay Sa'olam, the Goyim, they're worshipping idols. Or if I would tell them to bring korbanos, they would bring korbanos to me. That's not what the Targum is translating. He's telling us that this pasuk is describing Klal Yisrael. And even though we do not have a Beis HaMikdash, it doesn't matter. Uneshalma farim sifaseinu. Uvechol Eden, every place. The atun you, Ovdin, that you do. Reusi, my will. Ano I, akabel tzilloisho, accept your prayers. Ushmi rabo. And thus, when you, David, and I listen, I accept your prayers, my name is exalted, miskadash, exalted, al yidechoin, through you, utzeloischoin, your prayers are, here are the key words, ki kurban, your prayers serve exactly in the place of sacrifices, dechei kodomai, that are offered before me, and then, arei rav shmi b'nei amaya, my name becomes great among the nations. Omar Hashem Tzivokos. Okay, next pasuk.
He doesn't need the korbanot because he has all this.
Well, this is a Jewish
advertising.
Right.
Place without
the korbanos. So he's saying very good. He's saying I don't need korbanos, and the proof is, even when you will not have a Beis HaMikdash, and you daven sincerely, that's just as good. So I don't need the animals. I don't need the tire. It's even better. So that I say, you're saying that's the proof. The proof is, what are you coming to the Beis HaMikdash and bringing me animals and sacrifices? Who needs this? What I need from you is your sincerity. And the proof is, there's going to come a time when there's not going to be a Beis HaMikdash, and even when there is a Beis HaMikdash, and the Klali, so they daven to Hashem. The davening to Hashem is equivalent to the sacrifices. And I derive great satisfaction. And that creates a Kiddush Shem Shemayim. So you see, it's not the animal itself. Okay, next pasuk. Next pasuk says, pasuk Yubeis, V'yatem b'chal moso, hepech hagoyim. Going back to the pshat. You, the Jewish people, you're the opposite of the Gentiles. Shehem mechavim mugalim v'shmi. V'chi yesh chil gadol b'zeh shetoymer shushulchan Hashem v'galhu shepirashnu nivzehu. Is there a greater chil Hashem than what you do to say about the Beis HaMikdash? Is that the Mizbech is disgusting? There's no greater chil Hashem than when the Jewish people say about their own service, it is disgusting. You see, he's saying very powerful. Today, unfortunately, we have a lot of Jews who have not yet done teshuva. And what do these Jews do? Who are these left-winging Jews who are not religious, who have given everything, who have given up under Judaism, and they basically write off Jews. They write off that Judaism is disgusting, and they give away the whole land to the Arabs and abolish religion. And that is, there's no greater chilul Hashem than a self-hating Jew. That's what it says. A self-hating Jew is the ultimate chilul Hashem. That's what the Radak says. If not for this Radak, could you really say such a thing? Could you really say such a thing that when a Jew renounces his Judaism, that is the ultimate chilul Hashem? I don't know. You can fight. You can argue. Maybe yeah, maybe not. But the Radak says yes. That is the ultimate chilul Hashem. One more time, those words. V'chiyesh pasuk yud beis, page 871, pasuk yud beis in the Radak. V'chiyesh chilul gadol mizeh. Shetaymu, when a Jew says about his own service, his own religion, Shulchan Hashem, the table of Hashem, the Beis HaMikdash, Migolu, it's disgusting. Shepirashnu nivzehu, v'nivoy nivze ochloy, v'nivoy udivoroy, his words. What does the word niv mean? Borei Hashem creates niv sefosoyim. Hashem is the creator of the utterance of the lips. The koyach hadibur is a creation of Hashem. The third one that says this. See, we have not yet found a Makar for of Kalman. We yet to find one. Don't worry, I'm not worried, we'll find. But the third one ready to say that the word Nivo here, the subject of the word Nivo are the Kohanim. The Kohanim in their private discussions state that their service of the Beis HaMikdash is disgusting. Sha'oimer Tomid, this that they say continuously, Nivze Ochloi, Kiloimar, Lechem HaMizbeach V'Ochloi, the food of the Mizbeach and what it consumes, Shehu Chele V'Dam, Migo'ol, it's disgusting, V'Nivzehu. V'Yesh Mefarsh, V'Niv, Me'in Tinuva, Niv comes Tinuva, which means fruit. V'Nivoi, the word Tinuva means fruit. The fruit, the tenuvas hasadeh, the fruit of the earth. So then it would mean they would say v'nivoy, the food v'nivo nivze ochlo. It's like a double. It's a repetition. There are two words according to this interpretation. We have two words for food in the pasuk. Is nivo and then ochloi. It's food. Poetic poetry. Kofel ha'in b'miloy shonis. We repeat the same twice. It's food is disgusting. Two words for food. Ochloi and nivoy. That's a second interpretation. Everyone said until now the word nivo does not mean food. It means dibur. The yonis inter again, b'sir hu uv'siron matnosa minei. I don't know what that word means. B'sir, I know what it means. B'sir hu. I don't know what it means. Anyone know what b'sir means? Be'atudun omrin pesora de Hashem, the food of Hashem, the table of Hashem, b'sir hu. Uvisiron matnosa minei. It's, I assume it's disgusting. I go look in the Jasher what the word b'sir means. I think
in
the Radak, or in the Targum.
What?
Yeah, Yudbeis. Yudbeis, page 871.
How many lines down there?
The last line. Literally the last line of the Radak.
Okay, Vinivo.
Vinivo nivze ochlo. Look at the Targum also. The Targum on page on the period. So in the Targum, yeah, she's just calling the Targum. The word besir is an Aramaic word. An Aramaic word besir, I'm assuming it means nivze. It means a nivze. It means, it must mean disgusting. What else could it mean? It means that the table of Hashem is disgusting. Vinivoi. And uvisiron matnoa mine. I don't know what those words mean. They did not mean my preparation. Let's see, but maybe we'll see more in the Malbum. Let's take a look at the Malbum. Let's go back now to the Malbum. Malbum back on the previous page, page 869, pasuk yud. Mi gam bochem v'yizkod losai moisif lemar. Shegam chutz min amincha gam bochem mitzitchem roi liskod losai b'al tovo b'el beisi. Same idea we said before. The Boston L'Sham Rosh Lo Ta'iru Bizbichina Mefarish Negin Nigam Nibachem Yiskad L'Sam Ki'in Lichem Yisbachem V'Ein Yiroitze. I do not want Shatovel Obeisim Negin Lo. You know, so I made a mistake when I was doing it before. I read the Malb, not the Radak. No one stopped me. That's okay. Let's go now to pay Pasuk Yud Aleph. It's really the same appearance anyway. Okay, let's go to Pasuk back to page 871. I'm now on page 871. I'm reading the Malbum Pasuk Yud Aleph. Ki mimizrach shemesh v'ad mivao hagam shekol humayis oivdim avodazaram v'chol zois gadol shmi bagoyim shekulim yodim sheyesh tiba harishona elalian al kulam v'korilei elakod elaka rak shayim she'ein kvodesh lashkiach b'shvalim v'shemosa hanhagas oilam hashavu l'mshorsav kemel shemosa hanhagal l'sorav v'avodav. We only did this really four times, this idea. They're the middle people. And they derive their source from him. The person, the entity, that is the mugash l'shmi, that is near me, who muktar ritzayna loymar sheheim maktidim karbonais l'misha hu mugash v'chodav l'shem Hashem. U'misha choshim bo shu hu mugash l'shem Hashem hu muktar. Haynu she maktidim elav v'mitzad zeh maktidim l'tzva shemayim v'shachoshim shayim mugash v'chodav l'shem Hashem. V'y maktidim alayim mincha tohoyer nikiya v'lo ba'almum v'dvar b'lidim v'chorim v'chvodim v'zeh mitzad yigal shu magoyim v'ad sheichad v'kol mugash l'shmi v'kor v'lo. Okay. The Radak, the Malbum said exactly the same concept as Radak, as Rashi, the Mitzudos. However, he says he learns this interpretation to the Pasuk beautifully, different than everyone else. And that is the word Mugosh. So this is where the Malbum is taking the same exact idea, but he's just saying a little bit of a twist. He's just translating the words differently. And he's saying the word Mugosh means the stars, the moon, the sun, the earth. These entities are the ones in the eyes and the mind of mankind are mugosh. They're near Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, every Gentile will tell you that Hashem created the world. But Hashem, it's beneath his dignity, his honor, to be involved in the lowly things that happen on this world. It's just beneath him to be involved.
He delegates.
The entities to whom he delegates power are what the Pasuk here describes in terms with the word Mugosh Lishmi. The stars are the entity that have been delegated by Hashem to control things in this world. So the stars are Mugosh. They are near Hashem. They have a conversation. Hashem every once in a while calls them up and says, what's doing in the world? What's doing? Everything okay down there? The moon is Mugosh, is near Hashem. Hashem doesn't speak to man. It's beneath Hashem's dignity to go call up a human being, to have any dealings with animals, with fish and birds, and rodents, and human beings for that matter. Hashem, we, mankind, and the animal kingdom are not on a level that we can be near Hashem. But the stars, the moon, the sun, the earth, these are significant entities. They are entities that we're calling in this pasuk, Mugosh, are near Hashem. Therefore, it is fitting that we, the lowly creatures, should bring a mincha tohoira to those entities that are Mugosh Lishmi.
So if a king appoints a governor, right, and you're bowing down to the governor as respect to the king.
Exactly.
So you're not respecting the governor, you're really respecting the king.
Exactly. It's what everyone on the page said. That's what the Mitzvah said, what Rashi said, what the Radak said, what the Malma says. The only difference is the Malma, everyone on the page said the word Mugosh means they bring the Gentiles, bring animal sacrifices to the governors, and in their mind, by giving honor to the governor, you're giving honor to Hashem. Because if Hashem delegated these governors with power, so when you give honor to the governor, in essence, you're giving honor to Hashem. Everyone on the page says the same idea. The only difference is, everyone else says the word Mugosh, the translation of the word Mugosh means you bring, go near. Go. What do you mean going near? You bring a korban. A korban means korath. You bring an animal sacrifice. To whom do you bring the animal sacrifice? Yes.
Don't try to add, I learned recently the word Ketores, we have Luke Tar here, but the word Ketores, the Targum calls it Kesher.
A knot, a band, same idea.
Exactly. A connection.
A connection. There's a Ketores, a Keter, is a knot. A Korban means to Korav, to come near. A Mincha is a gift. These are all expressions of coming near and connecting yourself to the entity. But who are you giving, who are you delivering the gift? You give the gift to the governor. And by giving the gift to the governor, you consider it to be an honor to the king. Because if the king appointed this governor, the king wants you to give honor to the governor. So how do we translate the words Mugosh Lishmi? It means you bring an animal sacrifice. To whom? To the governor. And by doing so, it is an honor Lishmi to Hashem. Malbim says correct. The Pshat is correct. But the way you translate the words is not correct. Mugosh Lishmi is not a korban. It's an entity. The sun, the moon, the stars, they are the entities that are in the vicinity, have an audience with Hashem. And therefore, what do? We are Muktar and Mincha Tohoira. We bring Ketores and gifts to those that are Mugosh Lishmi. Okay, this is just in translation. We learned in the afternoon Rashi and Targum. So we have this idea there. We have this idea where sometimes Rashi says Kitargumoi. Sometimes Rashi, we've proven many times in our afternoon shir, that Rashi is wrote a sefer on the Targum, a super commentary on the Targum. When I was in Yeshiva, they taught us that Rashi, he wrote a sefer, he wrote a parish, an independent parish, And every once in a while, he quotes from Menachem. He quotes from Menachem ben Soruk. He quotes from, yes, a couple of friends. And he quotes Targum, Unkelus says this. I disagree. Everything in Rashi is all directed 100% against the Targum. If Rashi says nothing, it means I agree with you. If Rashi will quote the Targum and will say outright, you're wrong, you're just flat out wrong, I have another pshat. In Rashi, sometimes something very interesting, where he says, ki targumai, he says that word, ki targumai, and then he goes on to explain. He goes on to say a couple of in a sentence. And we've seen many times what Rashi means to say, seemingly is, Targum, the idea that you presented is A1. A1. You've taken the Pasuk. There are many interpretations. What is the Pasuk? What is the idea that the Pasuk is trying to convey? You translated the Pasuk in a way that brought out an idea. The idea is A1. However, the way you translated the words to bring out that idea, I disagree. I will now go ahead and bring out exactly the same idea that you said. But I'm going to translate the words differently, more precisely, more accurately in my understanding. But the result is the same. The idea is, sometimes Rashi says, the idea that you're saying is wrong. Wrong. This is not what the Pasuk is saying. You're presenting, you're translating the words in such a way where you bring out this idea. I disagree. The idea is invalid. It's factually wrong. Conceptually, it's wrong. I reject it. I'm going to translate it in such a way that's going to bring out an entirely different concept. But sometimes you have to be very wary. Whenever Rashi and Chumash says the word kitargumai and then goes on to translate the words, if it's kitargumo, we don't need your commentary, Rashi. Rashi doesn't comment on very many things. Rashi only comments clear as day when he disagrees with the Targum. And you have to be sensitive to the nuances. When Rashi says kitargumoi and then goes on to give an explanation, what he's saying is Targum, You've translated the Pasuk, and the way you translate, you brought out a beautiful idea. I agree with the idea. The idea is A1 is correct. But the way you translated the words to bring out that idea, that I disagree with. I'm going to provide a different translation, a different nuance in how to translate, but the result will be exactly the same. That's exactly what the Malbim here is doing over here for this Pasuk. Everyone here on this page, including the Malbim, at the end of the day, are saying exactly the same idea. The Goyim that we're describing all are maminin that there is one creator. Hashem created the world from beginning to end. Where did they go wrong? They believe that this world is such a lowly world. There's so much horror, crime, and terrible things. It's just not worthy that the exalted God, the Elokah de Elokah, should be involved in the nitty-gritty things that take place in this lonely world. It's beneath his dignity. Kal v'chomer, madach ha-melech bosa v'dam. A melech bosa v'dam doesn't go and deal with the sanitation department. He doesn't go into go and take out the garbage every day. He doesn't
micromanage.
He doesn't micromanage, okay? He doesn't know. I mean, I always tell you this, is that Clinton, Lahavdil Elif Avdalis, Bill Clinton, in his administration, the CIA built a new building. They built some new headquarters. I don't know exactly where it was. It's new headquarters. And they made a big ceremony. And they drove him, you know, for the cameras, they drove him up to the front. And he got up to speak and said, I want to thank my team, the Secret Service. Finally, they drove, when they took me to the building, they drove up in the front. Every time I come to the CIA, they take me through the back, through the garbage. They take me in the back of this, whatever it is, they have a whole alleyway where they take out the garbage, it stinks. Because of security measures, so they don't want to take me to the front of the building, it's too dangerous. So they take me through the back, and when they take me, we go, we walk, we pass through the garbage. We walk in the sanitation part of the building, where it smells. Ah, today, finally, service edge is not supposed to be filthy dirty, it has to stink and smell. I'm the president of the United States, and look at this, every time I come here, they take me through the garbage. Today, they took me to the front door, wow. What a yomtiv, it's a yomtiv.
Now the garbage is on the inside.
The garbage on the inside, and you got it.
I see something else here, very interesting. What is the Hebrewist command?
Yeah.
That nobody can say it's nivze.
Yeah.
It's ktoret.
Yeah.
Ktoret is not the korban. Bechol makom muktar.
Muktar. There's no psilas. No psilas.
He's
saying very interesting idea.
I don't need you. I don't need middlemen. I don't need kohanim here. Because the whole makom, they go directly to me.
To the source. You don't need, Rav Kalman is saying, is that a carbon has a lot of waste. There's a lot of waste products in the carbon. There's the hide, which is not burnt on the Mizbeach. There's the waste of the animal that has to be removed and thrown in the garbage. Then you have to make a fire and there's smoke and there's ash. Ketoyrest is no waste. Ketoyrest is pure. It's pure. So Hashem is saying, I don't need your korbanos. I don't need your korbanos. I don't need, because all I need is muktar mugash l'shmi. Ketoyrest is the ikud. There's no waste. So if you're going to bring a korban, do it right, because it's he's saying an idea which has to be developed. Let's finish up over here.
One point is not clear. Malachi is criticizing the Kohanim.
Yes.
Now the Kohanim were always careful and
who says they were always careful? They were corrupt. Most of the time of the day is Ham Mikdash, they were corrupt. They weren't always so good. They weren't always good. We have
Sukkim.
They were supposed to be good. Aaron HaKoyim. Aaron. But look right away with Eli HaKoyim. Chofni Pinchas. Churban Shiloi. Churban Shiloi. The criticism is off the charts. They were thoroughly corrupt. Chofni Pinchas.
The reason they were always.
Kohanim are cast on him. They get angry also. When I was in high school, I had a big fight with the kid in my class. Big fight. I did something really, really. I'm not gonna tell you what I did to him. So he took me to the principal. The principal. I was shocked. I thought I was gonna be expelled because I really did something really bad to him. And right away, the principal said, even without blinking an eyelash, he defended me, and he said about the one that I did. He was a koyin. He's a koyin. He's a kasson. He's a kasson. He basically right away assumed that I was right. He had experience with this other, the one that I committed a crime against. And right away he says, he's a Kohen. This guy's a Kohen. He's a Kasan. He flies off the handle. It must be that what I did was correct. It wasn't correct. But there were a lot of corrupt Kohanim. Don't kid yourself. So he's criticized. I want to finish up. We'll do one more.
Yeah.
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 One of the cases Cain b'nois slavkod.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So Rashi says kitargumo.
Oh, kitargumo.
They were yois. That's Pinchas.
Okay.
He doesn't explain anything for him. That's it. That's right here in
Pinchas. Okay, so that there, if he doesn't explain anything more than the Ketargum, means like the target. Each case individual. Okay, that's not a good example then. I can't give you examples on top of my head, but we learned in the morning, we found different examples. We learned in the afternoon, we learned Rashi and Unkelis, examples where Rashi says Ketargumoy, and then he goes on to say, not every case, he goes on to explain. And it's very clear that the way Rashi is translating the words is not exactly the way the Targum translates, but yet, the Perush is the same Perush. The idea is the same idea. So why then did Rashi have to do anything? Rashi's not coming to disagree with the Targum. Rashi doesn't say anything. Rashi does not translate. If Rashi agrees with the Targum, he's silent. Why did he say Kitargumar? So you find times because Rashi means to say, I agree with the idea, but your translation is not accurate. That's exactly what's happening over here. Everyone is saying Kitargumar, the same idea. The Malbum is brilliant in that the Malbum over here, he's taking a very difficult expression, which you see all the Mepharshim, they're very uncomfortable with. When it comes to the word mugash lishmi, they fashtup into the word. Mugash means an animal sacrifice. So say an animal sacrifice. So say it. What's mugash lishmi doesn't know. Malum says what it means is they bring ketores to the entities that in their mind are near Hashem. The governors of Hashem.
But here also, I'm sorry, before we leave off. He quotes Kitargumo Yois, but then he explains another point. Oh. So he's using that as a basis for.
Oh, so you have to.
Then he starts saying Tachnever Parsha Zubim.
Okay, you have to analyze it.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So either he's saying, you know, a different.
If he says Kitargumo, we found
building
it,
on
building
it,
upon
it,
he's building upon
another,
it.
Yeah.
But he's saying
quoting, you know,
the idea is correct. But there's something he wants to add to or detract or manipulate. But in general, when the day is over, we're on the same page. Because if we were not on the same page, he would not say Kitarguma. Kitargum means amaskin. That when the day is over, we agree on the principles. Sometimes Rashi says, I totally disagree with you. You're wrong. I disagree with your principle. And I can have an afil halacha. I disagree with you, Targum. You're saying an approach.
Right. Here's a case where he doesn't actually argue.
Right. I'm not arguing.
He's building on it.
But there's something more that has to be elaborated. And that's what I'm trying to bring it over here. Everyone agrees to the principles.
Yeah.
It's clear. There's no disagreement. Everyone says mamish word for word. The difference, though, is how do you translate the words in the pasuk to bring out that exact same principle. Because more often than not, if you're going to translate the psukim differently, then you're going to result in a different principle. And that's not the case over here. All right, so later we're going to have to stop and we'll have you tomorrow, pasuk based on the Malam, for the racial break. I want to talk today about, this is Pashat Akef. We have a pasuk, the ochalta visavata uveirachta es Hashem elokecha l'aretz ha'tov asher nos aloch. I want to discuss not on the benching, on the achila. On the laws of eating. I have some very interesting ideas about eating, halachos minhagim relating to eating from the Oitz Machmadim, volume number 6, and we will continue in a few moments.
Today is the yahrzeit of Shimshon Wertheimer. If you don't know who he is, you should do a Google on it. Yesterday was the yahrzeit of Rav Moshe Montefiore. If you don't know who he was,
go back to school.
And who's tomorrow?
Tomorrow, I don't know yet.
Hasn't died yet.
Shimshon Wertheimer.
Who's that?
He was the money bags of the Austrian
when I was growing
emperors.
All went to college.
In Europe.
Anyone
who needs a hot cup,
if
there's none available, ask
okay,
us.
Yeah. That was Russia. That was a whole different
area.
That goes back
to Russia.
The
Russian.
The Russian.
The columns?
You are a shamanist and you use them much later.
He's saying it was different.
Today, a lot of them do a lot of
things.
You
know, my father once had for me, my skull. I went to the yard and I wrote back the books and stuff for him. So the first night I took him, they stayed up the whole night. It's my curiosity stuff. It's Jewish.
Great. Yeah. And my own grandfather. My grandfather was a Rashida in RJJ. My father told me, my mother told me, and he came from America. He came with this mindset that if you go to college,
you're here.
You brainwash to renounce Yahdus, to become a former conservative. This is the mindset. And like he would say in the shir. Anyone who goes to college is not a king of the mindset.
When I was my age, made college in 4 years. Going during the summers and at night, came in college in 4 years. Years later, you couldn't go to college for the first 2 years. If you went to college, you would have to take 3 credits.
I know, right. It became crazy. But the mindset, when my grandfather came to America, he really believed that college in America was like the college in Europe, where the goal was to brainwash you.
But now college is brainwashing. Now it's really brainwashing.
It depends where. Yeah. But after teaching in RJJ,
most people didn't take liberal arts. Oh, they didn't take.
Even the liberal arts. It's a joke.
Anyway, took liberal arts.
No one cared.
Brooklyn College is liberal. How do you take the liberal arts?
Those were required courses, but nobody majored in it.
Oh, yeah, but
in my age group.
Yeah, but philosophy, you know, you took philosophy in college, it wasn't good. That's the whole point, you know. When kids come back from Israel, they accept the credits, so they don't have to take the liberal arts.
It depends where. They always change rules. But after my grandfather started teaching RJJ for a couple of years, it was clear as day to him, college in America is just like a technical school almost. Get a job. He realized very quickly, and a lot of the gedolim, they all came to America, they're going to brainwash. Very quickly after college in America is just to get a job.
It's politicized now.
Now it became a little bit more. Now it became different. Not really in New York, really. I don't know.
Yeah, but all over the place.
Yeah.
You see.
Brooklyn College politicized?
Like
Kingsborough. It's like community college, I didn't go to college. It's all college.
You belong to the college professors and the college belong to the union?
No, I was only an adjunct.
The adjunct also belonged, I think. I think I was a member.
I was a member in college.
They voted to support the BDS.
Yeah.
And now it was in the Post today. They said 50 professors resigned from the union because of
they supported the BDS.
They said, who do they have a right to vote, a board votes and decides that we're...
Exactly. People, they use their power. We live in the world.
Well, they said it. The article in the Post said, watch article this morning says that there's an undercurrent. People are maneuvering, manipulating underneath. And for their agenda.
Right.
And it's pushing their agenda, the radical agendas are being pushed, not overtly, but underneath, all over, and we don't have anything to counteract it.
Right. Look at Mark Zuckerberg. Rabbi Levine, how could it be that one person, even though he can do it,
Mark Zuckerberg.
Yeah.
Yeah, the sitting president of the United States, he has millions of people
millions of people. Both sides. Then they were, they don't have it. Now all the papers are four parts. Everyone is. There is the agenda of the publisher has nothing to do with reality.
Exactly.
And then you see it, like I watch PBS NewsHour, and you see that they say we try to balance the news, show different opinions. None of the papers are doing it. None of the reporters are doing it. They all have their own plan. Even the colleges.
One person. Even though he can do it, he can do whatever he wants. It's his company.
But you have a professor in college that can give you that slant too.
So in Breslau, you have a couple of students. Everyone knows my opinion. You have a choice. I have five students.
You present both sides. You don't just present.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. But like I said, I come with Bill Golden. How can a kid not know basic biology, basic science? There's a kid who went to the Hasidic Yeshiva and rebelled. He's the one who. They were talking about atoms and molecules. heard of Anna Demonte.
It's not going to be
safe. Never heard of Anna Demonte. It's a shame. It's horrible. It's how to get married. I don't know biology.
It's a horrible.
I told him. I said, you know, they have a pain up there. Oh, my heart hurts.
You know, the front of the reserve sees for them. But anyway, another thing, they go and you give to the bus and they go and scrape that's all they do.
This is what's going on.
To you. I'll say that there are a few of us in the bay, and I'll say that the people don't believe I don't. And I don't want to take you away from the head table, but if you, you know, but then, you know what I'm saying? If I could sit next to you, I mean, you know, I don't know anybody. I don't know anybody there. So I feel stupid just sitting on the table because I don't know the person. And I'm not a big dancer, I think I'd like to say if, you know, if I could be with somebody,
before we ask the parents to my room,
but it's important that,
okay,
the going, by the way, my daughter, her son, early that day, Wednesday, they want to go early in the morning, she's working very hard,
the first question I'm going to ask is,
where am I going to make a decision? And if I have the right back too.
But I saw it.
As I mentioned Friday, another thing is,
okay, let's learn.
If you didn't have the meal Friday, if you put it in the iron, you didn't have the food back for me on Friday. I mean, sometimes when you don't eat, I'll give you the dollars.
I'm not worried about that.
Okay, everybody, let's begin. Let's begin today.
That's only a Friday.
Any day that you don't.